Introduction. If you're interested in backpacking through Europe, this is a great place to start. I was in Europe for 4 months and spent an average of $50 a day. It took some discipline, but it allowed me to have many different experiences and adventures. Prioritizing and research led to a great trip, wonderful memories, and some savings when I got home. Don't let the thought of the expense keep you from fulfilling a dream. Number 1. Set your budget. A. Money in the bank. In order to successfully backpack on a budget, you actually need to set a budget. This seems obvious, but if you do not put thought into it now, it will quickly get out of hand once you arrive. Look at how much you have saved for the trip. Find out what the current exchange rate is in each of the countries you intend to travel in. For example, the US dollar might be stronger than the Polish zloty. However, the euro is likely stronger than the dollar. Look at the recent trends and keep the exchange rate in mind. Another important thing to consider while setting your budget is how you intend to pay for things. You can either pull cash from ATMs, use a credit card, use a debit card, or exchange dollars in an airport or other location. Any combination of these is also an option. Keep in mind that different cards have different policies. I used a credit card that did not charge a foreign transaction fee, so I ended up paying only the fee for converting dollars to the necessary currency. Then, I just paid off the credit card each month. I also used a debit card that does not charge ATM fees. This means that I could use my debit card to get cash in any country for free. Again, only paying the fee to convert currencies, which was a small percentage. This combination allowed me to have access to cash pretty much anywhere, but also not to have to worry about carrying large amounts of cash around with me. I could take more cash out of an ATM as often as I wanted. B. Prioritizing. While setting your budget, consider what is important to you. Do you want to stay in nice rooms, eat good meals, take guided tours, buy souvenirs? Prioritize where you want to spend your money. Personally, I wanted to see as much as I could and enjoy good meals. So I was much more willing to stay in hostels and shared rooms, and I ended up not purchasing more than 2 souvenirs the whole time I was there. However, I saw pretty much everything I wanted to see. C. Safety net. Once you have an idea of how much you're willing to spend and where you want to be spending your money, look at how much you anticipate spending each day. Then, add a safety net to that. Each day will likely average out, as some will cost you more and others will be less expensive. The prices in each country will also vary, and it will tend to even out by the end of the trip. To give you an idea, I spent an average of $50 per day. You also need to calculate in the cost of transportation to the country and possibly transportation within the country. There will be more on transportation later. However, it is important to have an idea of what you can afford to spend each day and try to stick with it throughout the trip. You will be able to enjoy your trip even more if you are not overly worried about money and your budget. Just know that you want to spend and do your best to stick with it throughout the trip. In the rest of this guide, I will be working off of a presumed budget of $50 a day. However, feel free to adjust to whatever your budget is. Number 2. Packing. A. Purchasing a backpack. In order to have a fun and successful backpacking trip, you'll need to have a good backpack. This is a place where you may need to spend some more money. But it will be worth it to have a backpack that works exactly for your situation. You will definitely want a backpack that is comfortable and that you can wear for long hours. Ideally, you will not need to have your backpack on for a long time, but you should be prepared for that possibility. Also, you want a backpack that is smaller and can fit in the overhead compartment on the plane. Each airline has different regulations, but international airlines usually require carry-on bags to be smaller than airlines in the United States. Using a carry-on for a round-trip flight will save you at least $100, which leaves you with 2 extra days of spending. A good backpack will probably cost between $100 and $200. However, if you know ahead of time, enough ahead of time, consider watching the sales before you purchase one. You will not need to break it in, so it is a purchase that you can put off until close to the end. Then, if it does not go on sale, you will still spend the same amount of money. B. Filling the backpack. Once you have an idea of the backpack you want, consider how you are going to fill it. Quick note, it may be worth purchasing a backpack and leaving the tags on, just for size consideration. Even if it's not the exact bag you want, then you can return it later. I took a 30-liter backpack for 4 months, and it was the perfect size. There are some backpacks that can be used as suitcases, but that is just up to personal preference. There is not any financial benefit to either of these styles. C. Packing list. While picking a backpack, you can also begin to consider what you plan to pack. The items you take will carry and make a big difference in your budget. Again, there may be a cost up front, but what you pack can save you money when you arrive. First and foremost, you will want good shoes that go with everything else you plan to take. If your feet hurt and you cannot walk very far, you will have to pay for transportation more often. If you choose not to, you risk being in pain and not getting to fully enjoy the sights. The next important item is to take a good rain jacket. Again, spend the money on this, as it will allow you to enjoy many different sights and activities, regardless of the weather. Most people do not prepare for this, and instead end up buying plastic ponchos over and over, or spending money on a jacket while in Europe. This can get expensive. Beyond these two necessities, you will just want to be sure you take clothes that can be washed in the sink and will not get smelly too quickly. Take single-use detergent packs with you so you can wash your clothes in the sink as much as possible. This will save you money and also keep you from having to wait in lines to use laundry facilities. As a quick overview, here's an example of a list of what you will want to pack. 3 to 5 shirts, both long and short sleeves. 3 bottoms, jeans, capris, khaki shorts, skirts, etc. Sweater, rain jacket, closed-toe shoes, sandals, socks, underwear, pajamas that could possibly double as clothes to swim in, toiletries, scarf, towel, water bottle. Of course, you may also want things like a camera, phone, travel journal, sleeping bag liner, etc. However, this leaves you with a pretty comprehensive list of clothing items that will allow you to be flexible based on the weather and the plan for the day. Toiletries are not any more expensive in Europe than they are in the States, so take what you think you will need and then buy something if you want it later on. You want to be prepared with just enough clothes and not overwhelmed with a bunch of small bottles. One important thing to note is that you will absolutely want to take a water bottle. Water is not free in most of Europe, so you will definitely save money by filling up your water bottle each morning. If you have to get water twice a day, you're looking at about $4 US each day, which will add up quickly. I understand that some people might already be thinking this kind of trip would be too much just because of the packing requirements, but let me reassure you, you can pack like this. My parents and in-laws met us at different parts of our trip, and all 4 of them packed in a backpack and traveled like this with us. Don't think this is only for the young, crazy people. If this is what you want to do, you will figure out a way to leave the 6 extra shirts at home. It's worth it. It is hard to anticipate exactly what you will need, so you may end up leaving things behind as you go. With this in mind, do not take anything that is your favorite. You might ruin it or end up needing to leave it behind. Yes, you might want to look good in all the pictures, but leave your very favorites at home. Number 3. Traveling to Europe. A. Time of year. The prices at most of the tourist-related things in Europe vary depending on the time of the year. The summer is the most expensive time to go because it is the most popular and tends to have the best weather over the majority of the continent. However, if you go in the winter, you risk that many sites will be closed or have shortened hours. Also, you will have to pack much differently, and winter will require heavier clothes and more layers. With this in mind, either spring or fall is usually the best time to go. This allows you to pack a bit lighter than the dead of winter would allow for, but also gives you the best chance that the sites you want to go to are actually open. I went July through November and didn't encounter anything that was closed because of the season. I also did not encounter super cold weather, which was just generally more pleasant. August is usually the busiest month in many cities, so you will save money and time waiting in lines if you are in some of the smaller cities or towns that you want to visit during August. Most of the smaller towns are usually more expensive anyway, so you are paying what you would pay any time of year, rather than paying an inflated price in the big cities because it is tourist season. Ultimately, you have to do what works in your schedule. However, if you have the flexibility, you will save money depending on when you travel and where you are during the busy season. B. Countries. Part of setting your budget includes planning through what you want to see. It is incredibly important to get an idea of which countries you absolutely do not want to miss. Spend some time doing research and figuring out what is most interesting and appealing to you. Ask people who have been to Europe what they liked and what they would not necessarily recommend. Even if they went on a business trip or a cruise, you can learn something from them about how you want to plan your trip. Keep in mind that even though a country is in Europe, it is not necessarily part of the European Union. This means that there are going to be different currencies, especially if you go into the Scandinavian countries or into Eastern Europe. Try to get a basic handle on the exchange rate of each country you plan to visit. If you do not have enough knowledge to do a quick calculation of the cost in US dollars, you risk overspending out of confusion. It is a good idea to look up the exchange rate before you enter a country to make sure you are on the right track. C. Plane tickets. Once you have an idea of where you want to go, start looking at plane tickets. It is very possible that splitting up the ticket will save you money. For example, you could fly a more regional airline to get to a major airport and then fly to Europe with an international airline. This will require a bit more work to make all the travel arrangements, but it could save you a lot of money. This also gives you the option of using points that you may have accrued that would otherwise not be available for use with an international airline. You could potentially fly in the States for free and only need to pay for one direct flight into Europe. Alternatively, if you live near a major airport that does international flights to Europe, you only need to worry about one flight. Obviously, flying coach is going to be cheaper. In addition to this, being flexible with your travel time will allow you to get a better rate. If you use Google Flights to look up costs, it has an option for flexible dates. Also, you will want to fly a budget airline if at all possible. Because it is guaranteed to be a long flight, almost all airlines will have some sort of food available for purchase when you book the ticket. Some airlines will bundle up things together, including a checked bag, a meal, and the option to choose your seat. I was traveling with my husband, so we chose to spend the extra $50 to guarantee a seat together and get the meal. It did seem a bit expensive, but for us, it was money well spent. Throughout your trip, your spending will be based on your priorities, so it will likely look different from mine. However, the main thing is to be conscious of the choices you are making. This will help you keep up your budget and keep to it and still enjoy as much as possible. If your travel plans are flexible, consider flying into the city that is the cheapest. For example, most of the UK tends to be pretty expensive. You may want to fly in to somewhere in the EU. You may also find that flights are cheaper if you go into one of the Scandinavian countries. Prices will vary depending on the day of the week you are flying, the time of the day, and the season. You will need to pick based on what works best for your plan. D. Route. While deciding on where to fly in, it may be helpful to make a basic route. This does not mean that you have to follow it exactly once you arrive, but you may want an idea of which country you intend to fly into and where you would like to end your trip. It is almost always going to be better to fly out of a different city than you flew into, especially if you are planning to see more than one country. There are a number of budget airlines that offer incredibly cheap flights. Think $30 to $75. That could get you back to your entrance point, but it would be more convenient to simply fly out of where you end your trip. Also, depending on how long you plan to stay, you may want to wait until sometime in the middle of your trip to book the flight home. In order to illustrate this idea, I will tell you the specifics of how my husband and I did it. We knew we wanted to go as far north as Norway, and then intended to see everything on the mainland that was south and west of that. We looked at tickets on the peripherals of the area we wanted to see, as well as considered a basic route that would allow us to see parts of each of these countries. Ultimately, based on the tickets available and the countries we had listed, we chose to fly into Norway. The tickets were reasonable, and this would allow us to move south, never needing to retrace our route back into the Scandinavian countries. Then, because we knew we would be there for a while, we waited until the second month before we bought our tickets home. By that time, we had an idea of how things worked and the pace we were moving at. We chose to fly out of Italy, as we had plans to meet some family there the last couple weeks of our trip. We did not have quite as much flexibility when choosing where to fly out. However, when you consider the cost of getting to a different airport, the difference between the cheaper ticket and the extra traveling tends to even out. In all of these decisions, it is really necessary to consider where you want to go and how long you want to spend in Europe. These choices will help you set parameters and allow you to pick the most cost-effective route, as well as the best flight options. Number 4. Traveling in Europe. A. Eurail Pass versus Single Tickets. Once you arrive in Europe, you have many options to choose from regarding how you're going to get around, whether between cities or once you've arrived in a city. There are multiple modes of transportation that can be used for almost any trip. Your choice will depend on the length of the trip, your flexibility on the time, your bag, and the cost. One major thing to consider is the train system. Trains are frequently used as a way to get between cities. Trains are often the most convenient way and allow for quite a bit of flexibility. With that in mind, you will want to consider the possibility of a Eurail pass. When you have a Eurail pass, it counts as your ticket in Western Europe, as well as a few places in Eastern Europe. The pass is not valid anywhere in the United Kingdom. However, it is valid in Northern Ireland, as they are a part of the European Union. You can go to the Eurail website to find updated information regarding the price of each pass, as well as any rules or exceptions that apply. There are multiple types of passes. One option is a pass that allows for unlimited rides during a continuous amount of time. Another is a pass that gives you a limited amount of travel, days in a set of amount of time. Some passes require that you travel only within a certain number of bordering countries. There are a number of options, but the Eurail website has trip planning help that will allow you to make the best decision for you, especially taking into account the length of your trip and the number of countries you want to see. If you have a Eurail pass, you will likely still be required to make a reservation for most high-speed train rides. This average cost is anywhere from 6 to 20 euros. There is an option to take some of the slower trains that make more stops, but it is usually worth it to pay the reservation fee so that you do not end up spending most of the trip on a train. The trains can be fun, but that is probably not the main reason you are backpacking through Europe. While reservations may seem expensive in addition to buying the actual pass, it is definitely a money saver if you intend to travel to quite a few cities. It is also worth it if you have to have the pass that only allows for a certain number of travel days, as you can quickly cover quite a bit of distance in just one day. If you do not make reservations on high-speed trains, you risk needing to use more travel days for the same distance, therefore not making the best use of your EuroRail pass. The pass can also be used to make reservations on overnight trains. If you travel overnight, you do not use any time during the day that you could be sightseeing, and you also do not have to pay for lodging that night. Your reservation on an overnight train is likely the same amount or less compared to what you would pay for a bed. And a bed does not allow you to make ground on your travel plans. This is a major benefit, a win-win. When you purchase your EuroRail pass, be sure to go through their website and not anything else. They do not offer a full discount, but if your plans change and you have to cancel before you leave, you can get the majority of your money back. Their website has promotions that include extra travel days for free. The pass also has discounts attached to it, such as on ferry rides. It is definitely safer to purchase your pass directly from the EuroRail site, as you can be sure there will not be any hidden fees or surprises. If you plan to remain in one country and really see the whole country, it might be worth paying for tickets individually. However, the EuroRail pass is designed for non-European travelers so that they can save money and experience Europe by train. It is hard to imagine a scenario where the EuroRail pass is not the best option while backpacking Europe. Most likely, you just need to figure out which of the passes will be optimal for you and your trip. B. Other long-distance travel options. Using long-distance buses is another way to get between cities. If you do not purchase a EuroRail pass, this is an option. However, it is always slower, and there are usually not as many departure time options. A bus is a good way to get between mainland Europe and the United Kingdom. This is a particularly good way to go if you take an overnight bus. It is cheaper than the Eurostar, aka Channel, and you will not have to pay for lodging that evening. However, while you are in a EuroRail zone, it is likely the best deal and best use of your time to use the pass. Flying is a third option that is also very helpful for transportation between the European Union and the United Kingdom, or if you plan to go a long distance without stopping. There are flights between major cities in Europe that range from $35 to $100. These are usually with budget airlines that will charge you for everything and spend the majority of the flight time trying to sell you things. However, if your bag fits within the allowed limits, and you have enough self-control to avoid purchasing things from them, this is an incredibly cheap and quick way to cover a lot of ground in a very short amount of time. One thing to note about the flights is that they often leave from somewhat obscure airports. If this is the case, weigh the cost of getting to the airport plus the actual flight. If you need to take a charter bus to get to the airport or pay a taxi, it will get very expensive very quickly. However, this does not mean that it is not the best option. Even if the bus ride to the airport is the same price as the flight, you may only be spending $70 to get a long distance in a very short amount of time. Ferries are another way you can get between places. They are oftentimes discounted with the EuroRail pass, but tickets can be purchased separately. This is a very unique way to see the coast and get a different perspective on the place you are visiting. However, your decision to ride a ferry will be heavily based on the time and price. This can vary quite a bit between countries. Once you arrive in the city, there are numerous ways you can get around. Before you leave for your next city, it is helpful to look up some of the main information about the transportation in the city. You want to be sure that you are not getting scammed out of any money and that you are generally picking a reliable and cheap option. Most of the bigger cities have some kind of local subway or rail system. While it is possible to purchase passes or cards for a certain number of rides, you will likely just want to purchase individual rides. especially if you do not have every single part of your day planned. These are usually pretty reasonably priced, and almost always have stops within walking distance of the major tourist attractions. Some are priced based on distance, while others are just a flat rate. Also, if you get the Eurorail pass, ask at the information desk if the pass will count as your ticket. In some cities, like Paris, your pass will not help you on the subway, but it will get you onto the train that goes out to Versailles. There is no harm in asking and saving a few euros here and there. Another transportation option is the bus system. The buses tend to be just a bit cheaper than the trains, although more difficult to navigate, especially if you are not using cell service. Most cities have multiple routes that will take you to the tourist destinations. They may even get you closer than the subway or rail system. Again, it depends on how confident you are in navigating your way through the city. Taxis are numerous in most big cities, but almost never the cheapest option. They are tolerable if you have no other choice or are in a public transportation dead zone, but generally not a good way to save money. If you think you may use taxis, you will definitely want to look up what the reliable and public taxi service is in the city. Depending on the city you are in, water taxis are a quick and cheap way to get around. For example, Venice is not a very big city. However, there is a limited amount of routes available because of the location of the main bridges. It may be a short distance if you could walk in a straight line, but you could also end up going out of your way quite a bit to get to a destination. In this case, the water taxi is probably a good choice, even if it seems like you could and should walk. Renting a bicycle or going onto a bike tour are both great ways to get you around the city, while also enjoying the things in the city. Bike tours are usually pretty reasonable, and you may be able to get a discount code or coupon by going to a visitor center. If you rent a bike, you can go anywhere you want, lock it up, and check something out. This allows you to cover more ground than walking, but also to get a more intimate feel for the city. Bike tours are a great way to see a lot of places pretty quickly. If you do not have long to spend in a city, this will give you a chance to have a more personal tour than a bus tour. Many European cities are biker-friendly, but be sure to pay attention to the laws and which side of the road you are supposed to cycle on. One of my absolute favorite parts of my trip was a Sound of Music bike tour in Salzburg, Austria. I got a lot of information about a musical that I love while getting to see places that the movie was filmed. I also got out to a few different parts surrounding the town that I would have otherwise not seen by foot and were inaccessible via public transportation. An option that could be helpful but will cost you extra is to rent a car. If you're planning to stay in and around a major city, this is definitely not necessary and would likely make your whole experience more stressful. However, if you want to see some of the places that are more rural or difficult to access via public transportation, this is possibly a good way to go. It is important that you compare the full price of the trip while considering if you want to rent a car. For example, if you need to take a train and then a long taxi ride, it might be worth renting a car. However, you also need to check if there is a place to park the car and how much it might cost you to park overnight or for an extended amount of time. Renting a car is not a sure way to save money, but it could allow you to see some less visited places. Similar to renting a car, you can use a ride-sharing option. You can usually find someone heading in the same direction as you. This gives you the benefit of being able to reach some more rural places without having to rent a car for yourself and consider things like insurance and parking. There are a number of other ways to get around cities, including boat tours, Segway tours, bus tours, and more.